So let's move quickly on to look at this nzhistory.net exhibition about where the various migrants to New Zealand came from in the 19th century. And we're looking here particularly at the migrants that are coming from the United Kingdom. And let's have a look at this. And what you'll see in this graph is that you've got the UK census there in 1871. And then you're looking over here at where New Zealand's migrants are coming from in relation to that at different times in New Zealand history. So during the New Zealand Company period, during the Vogel period, and so on and so forth. So let's have a look at, initially, where our English migrants come from. And you'll see that London is an important place for New Zealand migrants to have come from, but no more important than sort of the United Kingdom as a whole. New Zealand's not getting overrepresented by people from London. But the home counties of the southeast are pretty New Zealand prone, I think it's fair to say. And in particular, it's the southwest of the United Kingdom that becomes very New Zealand prone. And in the research that Jock Phillips and Terry Hearn and others have done on nzhistory.net, and they've produced a book about this as well, they argue that that Cornwall is an area that a lot of New Zealand migrants are coming from. And they say that's because of the tin mining. So people are coming out of the tin mines are sort of running out in Cornwall. And as a result, people are getting up and joining the gold rush and coming to Australia and New Zealand and California. And a lot of these people are ending up in New Zealand. And you'll notice that Lancashire here is actually really, over the century, quite underrepresented in New Zealand. Now, Lancashire is a highly industrial area in the 19th century. And so New Zealand's not getting a whole lot of people that are coming from an industrial background from England. Let's move on and have a look now at our Scottish migrants that come to New Zealand in the 19th century. And this is significant for Steve and I, because we have relations that came to New Zealand in the 20th century on the same boat to New Zealand, but from Glasgow. And I think the really significant feature, if you look at these graphs, is just how overrepresented this far north area is. So here's the amount of people from the far north that are coming to New Zealand that are part of the Scottish population in 1871. And yet, consistently, you've got a large number of people coming from the far north of Scotland, so often from those outer islands like the Shetlands, and coming to New Zealand. And significantly also, the East Lowlands, which I think would be Edinburgh, and the West Lowlands, which would be Glasgow, are also quite strongly represented. And that's not a big surprise, because that's where a lot of people would have come to the Otago settlement in particular. Let's move on and look at our Irish ancestors that came to New Zealand. So I think the generalisation I'd make from this is that Leinster is well represented, especially in the early period, but it drops away. A lot of those people would have been Anglo-Irish migrants who maybe were part of the British Army that had come to New Zealand in the early period and were discharged. Ulster is very significantly represented, and again, that's probably not surprising because of the Protestant bias of especially the New Zealand Company immigration, but New Zealand immigration in general. And from Munster, we have a lot of migrants as well, and a lot of them, it's speculated, would have come from the goldfields in Australia. So you're getting a lot of Catholic people coming through. So as you can see, we're getting a picture here that we're not just getting a generic, homogenous group of people coming out of Scotland or Ireland or England to New Zealand. So where did these people go? In the nzhistory.net exhibition, you can see a really interesting regional breakdown of where these migrants came from. And as you can see, really, right from the outset, that the real distinctive element here is the extent to which Otago and Southland are dominated by Scottish migrants. And from your work this year, you won't be surprised by that. But you'll see that the New Zealand Company settlements, especially Wellington and Canterbury, are very English dominated, and there's a bit of a tight rein being put on the New Zealand Company settlements when it comes to Irish. Yeah.
Would you argue of Canterbury that a high proportion of English is partly due to the Canterbury Association having strong ties to the Church of England?
Absolutely. So they're putting quite, initially, you know, it's very successful in terms of saying you've got to get your vicar to sign off to actually let you come. It becomes very English dominated. It's interesting that Wellington, though, is also so English dominated. And then in Westland, you've got a whole lot of Irish migrants, and that's, of course, largely due to the gold rush and these people coming from the Australian goldfields and ending up in the West Coast.